Well, as Pastor Jerry said, we this is the first official Sunday of Lent, even though we're introducing the series called 40 Days, and he began that by introducing the series last week. And we're going to be looking at some various biblical accounts of 40-day periods and things that happened during those times. 40 was a big number in the Bible. In some cases, it was a literal 40-day period of time. In other cases, it just meant a really long time to accomplish a specific purpose. But regardless of the interpretation, it signifies the span of time dedicated to God and to see his work in our lives and in our community. Eugene Peterson writes this. He says, 40 is a stock biblical word that has hope at its core. That's important. It's a stock biblical word that has hope at its core. 40 days is a period of testing the reality of one's life, examining it for truth and for authenticity. The 40 days in Noah's Ark was used to cleanse centuries of moral pollution. The 40 days in the wilderness was used to train, I should say the 40 years in the wilderness, was used to train the Israelites to live by faith in the promises of God. 40 days of Jesus' temptation was used to explore his calling and test his commitment. The 40 days of Jesus' appearances after his death was used to verify his resurrection and characterize the new life of God's kingdom. 40 is an important number throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. And today we're going to look at the book of Jonah. I don't know how this happens, but I feel like I just spoke about Jonah a couple of weeks ago. Well, John and PJ and I get together on Tuesdays and we pray and we discuss things, and he introduced the series and we said, okay, well, what week do you want to preach? Well, I usually go on the second week of the month. Okay, fine, you know, and then what do I get? Jonah. That's okay. Maybe God has a plan. I'm starting to try and listen to him a little better. I hope you are too. So let's look at Jonah chapter 3. I was going to say the first 10 verses, but there are only 10 verses in chapter 3. So we're going to look at Jonah chapter 3. All 10 verses. And this is what it says. You there? You good? Oh, it's on the screen anyway, so. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. And when the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, dressed himself in burlap, and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. And when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us today through your word. Bless this time, Lord. Sanctify it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we heard last week, Lent is a very special time for the church. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of preparation for our spiritual life to return or to grow stronger in our relationship with the Lord. It's a time of getting serious, or maybe getting serious again with God. It's a time to listen. It's a time to hear God's voice. Hear his instruction to you. Here's maybe some things that he wants to reveal to you about yourself and your spiritual life. Time to make some changes possible. Time to get it right if you blew it before. Jonah spent 40 days in Nineveh warning the people of God's coming judgment. Actually, he took it a little bit further than what God said. Because he really didn't like this city. And he wanted to see it spoke, destroyed. So I want to look at what actually did God say to Jonah? What was this message? I mean, we just read that he said, he came to him a second time and said, go and tell them the message that I gave you already. So let's look at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and a little teeny bit of 3, and see what was this message that God gave Jonah to deliver to Nineveh. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. So far, so good. Announce my judgment against it because they have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He didn't want to go there. He didn't want to deliver the message that God gave him. Did you hear the message that God gave him? Tell him my judgment is coming because I've seen your wickedness. He didn't say anything about destroying the city. He said his judgment was coming because of their wickedness. This is the message God gave Jonah to deliver. He was fed up with Nineveh's evil, wicked ways, and so he was causing his judgment to rise up against the city. And then Jonah fled from the Lord because he didn't want to have any part of bringing that message to that city for a very good reason in his mind. However, God was not going to let Jonah off the hook so easy. Because then comes the fish story, you know. And we know the fish story. And it led to Jonah's repentance and his crying out to God. And God was merciful and he was gracious to Jonah, who was in rebellion. And he restored him. And he gave him a second chance. However, Jonah was not so nice. He was hardened against this city. He just wanted to see it destroyed. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to change their ways. He wanted God to bring down fire and blow the place away. See, Jonah was a prophet with an attitude. He needed a little 2x4 adjustment. And God can do those things. So he preached his own version of God's message. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. No grace, no mercy, no way out. If I told you that in 40 days God was going to strike you dead, what would you think? Would you believe me? I wouldn't believe me either. However, what if the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart and your life, preparing you, calling you, drawing you, and then you heard that same message? Well, that might make all the difference in whether you believe it or not. You see, God's working in the scene, behind the scenes, in Nineveh, preparing them for this message that he was going to be sending through his prophet Jonah. They were right. Jonah just didn't want to deal with it. Our text tells us in verse 5 of chapter 3, the people of Nineveh believed God's message from the greatest to the least, and they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. They repented. They changed their ways. They changed their mind. That's repentance. Let me tell you what repentance is not. Repentance is not like the guy who sends $150 to the IRS and says, if I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. That's not repentance. God's call to repentance is not superficial. It's not like giving up candy for Lent, like Pastor Jerry mentioned last week. Repentance is a serious inward reflection, where we spend some time and think about those things that offend God. that are in our life, things that have either crept in. It doesn't even have to be some big major sin thing. It could be some disciplines that we neglect. Still an offense to God. He wants all of us. But we don't very often give Him all of us. Maybe even some of us don't give Him much at all. Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you reflecting in His presence? Are you in His Word, studying, reading, meditating? Are you helping those around you that have a need? Or maybe even just bringing a word of encouragement to that rascal that you don't really like very much at all? You know? Those are the kinds of things that God calls us to do. And a lot of times, we just avoid them. Or almost run the other way like Jonah. There may be a particular thing that He wants to put His finger on in your life and say, you know what, I think it's time, this has to go. But even still, He does it gently, in His grace. But are we allowing Him to even talk to us? So I guess what it comes down to as far as our story, at least in my mind, is, are you a Jonah or are you a Ninevite? There's really two camps that we can deal with. Has God called you to do something, but you went in the opposite direction? Or maybe just found something else to do instead. You read the story, and you should probably read this story several times over, and get into Jonah's head a little bit, and how God dealt with him with this. And then apply that to your life. That grace that God offers, that mercy that He has extended to you. He'll always give a second chance, over and over again. The past is the past. The expression says you can't cry over spilled milk. If God called you to do something and you drop the ball, it's over. Keep going forward. Seek the Lord. Ask for His direction. He'll give you another opportunity. Either that thing or something else that He'll offer to you and expect you to obey and carry it out. Don't go beating yourself up over that thing that you didn't do, that you could have, would have, should have, and didn't. It's over. And you know what? He'll probably use somebody else to do that if He doesn't call you back to it at a distant time, you know, another time in the future. Because if He has a purpose to accomplish in someone's life, He's going to accomplish that purpose through somebody. It's our blessing that we lose by not obeying what the Lord asks us to do. Just be available. Mike said that a couple of weeks ago at the end of the message, right? Just, if you want to be used by God, just be available. He will use you. Seek the Lord. He'll reveal it to you. Or maybe you're a Ninevite. It happens. We were all Ninevites at one time. You could be someone who knows that things aren't quite right in your spiritual life, in your walk with the Lord. You know, you need to deal with some stuff, some issues. And God's been putting it on your heart, and He's working in your life behind the scenes. He's revealing those little things here and there, and they're gnawing at you. You don't know why, and you can't get away from it. You see, there's always a little bit more that we could offer to the Lord than what we're currently giving Him right now. Then use this time of Lent to get in the presence of God, to have Him put His finger on a few things, to reveal those areas where you need to bolster up a little bit and grow in your relationship with Him. You know, you can't lose. God is never going to set you up to fail. He wants you to succeed in Him. We just have to yield. And I don't understand how the enemy undermines God's will for my life a lot of times. I've experienced numerous times where I felt that I didn't do what he wanted me to do. Or I didn't do it the way I thought I should, you know? Or sometimes I just didn't do it at all. Why? I don't know. I just asked myself that. Was it fear? Of what? Was it embarrassment? Again, what for? What, you know, what am I embarrassed about? I know this. I have to tell myself this all the time. It's not about me. See, that whenever it becomes about me, I get in trouble. So, it's not about me. This is about God, and it's all about God. And if I just listen, ask for direction, obey his voice. He's going to lead me where he wants me to go. And I just have to walk it out, basically. The results are in his hands anyway. What's my problem? I don't know. What am I thinking? And then when I come to my senses and I yield to God, there's liberty, there's peace, there's joy in his presence. There's a quote that says, true liberty is not found without confession of our sins and the experience of divine forgiveness. How true is that? True liberty only comes when we actually realize where we're at, confess to the Lord, and realize his forgiveness and the reality of it, and accept that. Then you're free. And this is what happened in Nineveh. And according to the message, it says it this way. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. That's all he asked. Listen and trust him. Eugene Peterson writes this. In Nineveh, the span of 40 days did its proper work. The people heard the message not as a prediction of doom, but as a proclamation of hope. Nineveh's way of life was doomed, but another way of life was possible. The Ninevites didn't have to live the way they did. They could turn to God, love him, and live for him, leaving behind their old way of life. Same thing is offered to all of us. The same promise holds true today as it did back then for Nineveh. We don't have to live the old way any longer. We can live a new and improved life for God, being blessed and used by him. Will you trust him to do that in your life? Hold him to his promises. They never fail. So let's use these 40 days of Lent to establish a new or a renewed walk with God in every area of our lives, and expect that he'll use it for his glory and for his kingdom and to accomplish his purposes. I want to do something a little different. First, I want to tell you a couple of points on what revival is. And is not, I guess, because it starts with is not. So revival is not a week worth of meetings. That's not revival. Revival is not started in one day. It's a process. And we begin by times of Lent, of reflection, of repentance. And that will bring about revival personally and corporately. Revival is not controlled by man. It's a God thing. And we have to yield to it. Revival is a heart thing. Revival is always brought on by repentance. Always. It is always brought on by repentance. No matter how long you walk with the Lord, no matter how good you think you have things together, there's still room in there where we need to repent and come before God in humble submission. Revival is a renewal, a renewed zeal to obey God. It's like all of a sudden the spark gets lit again, and you want to obey the Lord, and you seek to obey the Lord, and you're blessed when you do. The early church was interactive. When they met in the homes, they would have a teaching or a lesson or whatever you want to call it that the apostles brought. And then they would have time to discuss that, to question. That's how application was made to their lives. We listen to your feedback, and some feedback has been, you know, the messages are good and they're biblical and they're teaching, but how do I apply that to my life? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. I'm going to put some discussion prompting questions on the screen. Eventually. Or maybe I won't. I'll have to just tell you the question. Write this down. And then what I'd like you to do is take the next 5 or 10 minutes and either break up into little groups so you can discuss these things together, or if you want, just sit reflectively on your own and answer these questions in your mind. They're there now. So I tell them all the time. They go, what about the slide? I say, how do I know? I can't see out my butt. They could be there or not be there. I wouldn't know. And then give us your feedback. What do you think about something like this? Not that we're going to do this every week, but I just felt like we should do this today. So maybe I'm wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. So I just wanted to try it, see what happens. So from this message, from what you heard, from the scripture, what stands out to you? We're going to leave the questions up there all for the rest of the time. What did you learn about God? What did you learn about people? Are there any life lessons that you can apply from this message today? And how do you plan to apply them? And how can we pray for one another once you figure that out? Let somebody know, you know, I want you to pray for me about this. And then during the week, pray for each other. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes or so. Just turn around or scoot together, whatever you got to do, and discuss these questions and how this message may apply to your life and what you might do about it. And then I'll come and close in a couple minutes. All right? Have fun. You're all disgusted now? I mean, you're done discussing that? Yeah. Good. You never know how these things are going to go. Get an idea, fall flat on your face. It happens. Why don't we just have a word of prayer together and close? Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, for your mercy and your grace in our lives. Where would we be without that, Lord? There's no way we would qualify to be used of you. There's really nothing good about any one of us down deep inside. It's only your goodness, through your Spirit, by faith in Christ, that we can even stand before you. I pray, Lord, as we go through this week, we might take time to reflect on our own spiritual walk, to seek your face, to experience your presence in our personal time with you. And we would even dare to ask, Lord, that you'd put your finger on a couple of things that we might need to deal with so we become even closer in our relationship with you. Because it's all about you, Lord, and we're nothing without you. Work in our lives, work in our hearts. Sanctify us by your Spirit and grace. We love you, Lord. We ask that you bless the refreshments downstairs, the fellowship time together as we get to know each other better, and our Sabbath day. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed in the peace of the Lord.